The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
When we went and saw that band in Long Beach, there was a place next door that had liverwurst sandwiches.
And the big jars of pickled eggs. That, mm-hmm. I think that was the place.
And they were closed.
Joe Jost.
Right next door to Alex Bar. Was it
next door to it?
There was a place like literally across the street. We were going to go there, and you were so excited, and then they were closed.
Yeah, big jars of pickled eggs. Mm,
God damn.
Rachel gets them. And the beer cooler just also has giant vats of pickled eggs.
Where does she get them from? I mean, does she have a go-to spot?
That's where she'll get them.
She gets them there.
She's Long Beach, yeah. Gotcha. Joe Jost's, I think.
Interesting.
I started it.
Oh, did you start it already?
Yeah.
You always trick me. I'm so easy to fool.
Oh, man.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I got acupuncture today. That you think you're easy to fool. As soon as she was done, she's like, "Oh, you got to also buy $70 of these herbs." And what time next week would you like to be in here? So I'm going back.
You just got talked into it.
Right into it.
I don't ever commit to shit. Anytime someone tries to sell me something, I always go, "Well, let me call around. I'll get back with you."
She was a nice. She's a small, older Korean lady, and she hugged me when I left.
She hugged you?
Yeah, she hugged me.
Oh, I like a good stranger hug.
See, and that's why I was like, "Nah, I'm all right with this place."
She just worked you, man.
I got duped. fell for the trickery.
So you got acupuncture?
Yeah.
What got punctured?
The needles basically are like guitar strings.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't know if that makes it sound better or horribly worse.
Yeah, they wobble. I've seen people, they put them in and then they pull the outer part out.
Have you ever tuned a guitar and have a string break while you're tuning it?
No.
I don't think I'm like a chicken shit.
Mm-hmm.
But tuning a guitar with new strings, just hearing it go like, ding, ding, I think it's going to snap and go right into my eye.
Hmm.
Interesting. Okay. I didn't know if that was something. I'm afraid of actual baseballs and guitar strings snapping.
And you're a guitar player. You shred.
Well, I don't change strings.
When you were in bands, did you just never change strings?
I mean, once, you know, with the moons.
I was watching a documentary about the Minutemen, We Jam Econo.
Mm-hmm.
Great documentary. And they were talking about Mike Watt. You know, he was the bass player and kind of the leader. One of the leaders.
Yeah.
Not to get into specifics. D. Boone, who died. But anyway, there was just a part where he was talking about when he first started learning to play bass, he didn't know that the tightness was relevant to the tuning. He just thought some people like loose strings and some people like tight strings. That's something I would have done.
He plays them all wobbly-like.
Oh, you like yours loose. That's cool.
Oh, I can't tell the difference between an ass and a tea kettle up there.
So, why did you get acupuncture? Was it for your knee?
Yeah, for my knee and everything.
So, did they just stick the needles in the knee, or did they do the whole body?
It was all in my knees, in my ankles, and then in my hands. And then she got one right in the middle of my head.
Really?
My forehead,
yeah. Oh, man. See, I'd like to do that just for the look of it.
It was,
just walk around with a needle sticking out of my head.
At one point, like, I lifted my arm up. I'm like, all right, yeah, it's just, I mean, I think it was like 5 needles in each arm.
Hmm.
It just felt like, well, it was all right. It was kind of boring.
How long did they, how long did you lie there with needles in you?
It was like an hour, maybe 45 minutes.
Interesting.
But then I just get bored.
Does she leave the room or does she hang out and talk with you? She makes
so relaxing. She just wants to talk to me the whole time.
Seriously, did she monitor?
No, she took off. Put on like a meditative song. Are they call them songs or are they soundscapes?
Okay,
because it lasts for 45 minutes.
Could I wonder if they would? If you were like, hey, seriously, could you put the? And you just handed them a Guns N' Roses CD. Would they play that?
Listen, it's Use Your Illusion 2.
This is what relaxes me.
Relaxation is different. It's subjective. What works for one doesn't work for another. I liked it though.
Yeah.
It's always almost something that it's not.
I like all that.
Can I say something more stone than that?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, I think these are like dolphin noises. And they're like, nope, there's some drums. And so you're like, all right, you're changing it up on me.
Okay, so it's actual music. It's not just like.
I don't know. Because it didn't have a beginning or an end. And it just kind of floated around.
I once bought, 20 years ago, I bought. From the television, I purchased Pure Moods. Do you remember Pure Moods? Because there was a Yanni, I think it's Yanni or Enigma. Enigma.
Oh,
there was a song.
I'm not gonna
try to sing it.
You can't sing it.
No. Yeah. Because there's just like that, like, no. It's like this lady whispering and and then these crazy like wind chime noises. I was just sitting around one day 20 years ago and I was like, I need that, you know.
I understand that.
The ladies will probably appreciate that when they come over.
Oh, man.
That was part of my thinking.
You can get a nice candle with it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I didn't... I'm trying to think of what the worst, mellowest music. I don't know. I already had Insane Clown Posse the other week, so I don't think I can go twofold.
I understand.
Yeah.
So what else going on, buddy? You just got back from out of town?
Did that. I went to New York. You went to Arizona.
I went to Phoenix. See, he's in...
Phoenix Lights.
He's in Phoenix. Sorry, that was a Heat reference. Because he's in Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. Sorry.
What?
That's just when Pacino's character goes to visit his CI, his confidential informant.
Yeah.
He was supposed to meet him, his brother. His CI was setting up a meeting between Pacino and his brother didn't show. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, how come your brother didn't show? And he's like, he's in Phoenix. And he goes, give me all you got. Give me all you got. He shakes the table. Love Heat. Oh, what a good movie.
Who was the informant? How can I not remember this?
Just some dude. I don't know. Not like a big actor. Although there were a ton of big actors in that
Hank
movie.
Azaria?
No. It was the black dude. It's like, I don't know his name, but he was just like, I'm a flamenco dancer. I'm just kicking it real cool. It's like, what's that? That's got nothing to do with me. Pacino, and De Niro at their peak in that movie. Since then, they both just kind of like, well, I need to
make some real weird choices.
I need to make all the money I can. Well,
they're making
before
real weird
I die.
Choices.
Yeah. Both of them, like 20 years ago, the absolute pinnacle of their field, just the most respected. And then since then, they say yes to everything.
They want to do maybe they want to do different stuff. Instead of like, hey, you know what you do anyway. Get in there.
But that's not it. That's not what they're doing. They're doing their thing, but like on a straight to video level.
Yeah, just making a bunch of bullshit.
Not a real bullshit. Anyway, how was New York?
It was. It's always a bit much.
Mm-hmm. You didn't go for work. You went for leisure.
No, Rachel had a thing. Yeah, leisure.
Uh-huh.
Just leisure.
Yeah? So it was just hobble around?
Man, yeah, it was all right. It's just like you fall, all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5:30. What happened?
Where'd y'all stay? What part of town?
Right by Katz's Deli, Lower East Side.
Okay.
I skipped Katz's Deli
because
I was like, no meat right now.
I've been to Katz's Deli, and I've been to, what's the other one, Carnegie Deli.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sure is a lot of corned beef.
But listen to what you just said. That sure is a lot of corned beef.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
It does, but like do they expect me to just eat that like a normal sandwich? Hey, by the way, there's 2.5 pounds of corned beef between these two skinny pieces of rye bread. I'm just supposed to eat this like a normal sandwich, unhinge my jaw.
You peck around. You nibble. Outskirts.
Seems like a lot of waste.
Nibble the outskirts.
All right. No offense to New York delis.
Oh.
So anyway.
Yeah.
Good trip?
I just hung out. Saw pals.
Do any spots?
I did Knitting Factory. That was good. It was Oscars night, though.
Okay.
And ain't nobody was there. And then I did Whiplash.
Oh, you did Whiplash?
It was all right.
Isn't that like the best show in town?
It was pretty good.
Yeah? Well, that's cool.
It was fun. I felt like it was kind of low energy in the room. Also, yeah. I was, you know, I wasn't in peak form.
I understand.
What's happening to you? Did you see the Phoenix Lights when you were in Phoenix?
No. I wish they were still there. I would have liked to have seen the Phoenix Lights. Had a good time. Good trip. Good show. Great show at Tasso's. Shout out to the Phoenix crew. A lot of nice little DIY crew put on a great show for me. Brought some folks out.
Did you eat some of that famous Phoenix fettuccine?
I really thought you were about, like, where's it going with this?
I don't know what they got.
I didn't eat that. You know what I did eat? I ate at the most Western
dick
waffle house in America. That's my only complaint with Los Angeles. Well, not my only complaint, but one of my complaints. There's no Waffle House around. I grew up on Waffle House. Do they have Waffle House in Illinois when you're growing up?
No. Do you? Well, you start getting in the further outskirts. Mm-hmm.
Waffle House is just an institution. It's just a way of life. I've never known anything but Waffle House. Wow. And then when I moved west, they were like, no more. But the furthest west Waffle House is just a few miles west of Phoenix.
Where they gave up.
What was the name?
Cold Rush was too much.
What's the name of that little suburb just west of Phoenix? Oh, regardless. But I ate a Waffle House and, just so many.
Python Junction.
Let me tell you, Waffle House takes a lot of shit. It's the butt of a lot of jokes, especially in the South. Waffle House, it's part of American culture.
You'll get colitis from that place.
What's colitis? No, you won't get colitis.
You'll get
you won't get an intestinal disorder.
Giardia.
Why? Why? What's wrong with Waffle House?
Get the same thing you get from not boiling river water. That's what you get from Waffle House. I sat at the counter at a Waffle House. And the manager, the guy with a button-up shirt back there, was working on the dishes and grabbed a rag and wrang it out and perfectly, like, squirted just dishwater across everybody's plate at the counter. Like fucking Bozo Bucket dropping it. It's just blam, 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 blam. Smothered and covered. It's just ruined for everyone.
Oh, man. Just soldier on.
He was the manager.
Just eat that shit. Don't worry about it.
I did. But it was, man.
I love waffles.
At least hide it.
It's consistent. It's affordable. It's, man, the staff, people. All right, in the South, like, being a Waffle House employee.
You're just trying to get free Waffle House.
I am. But, like, I don't know. It was always the Waffle House.
Branded content.
Waffle House waitresses, Waffle House cooks were always the butt of a lot of jokes. Like, who do you work at the Waffle House? Let me tell you something. If I ran a business, I would want former Waffle House employees working at my business because those people know what the hell they're doing. When it slammed on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning, that's like where the middle class folks go brunch, all right?
Yeah.
And the rest of the world, on the coast, brunch is a big deal, all right? In the middle of the rest of the country, they go to fucking Waffle House for brunch on Saturday and Sunday.
Eating late breakfast.
Yeah. And man, they're just in there bumping. You got these Waffle House guys on the grill. They got 35 tickets hanging up there. They got to know what's what. That's medium. That's this. That's scrambled. That's this. Like, dude, those, man. Hats off to Waffle House employees.
All right.
I'm just I'm tired
who
of
who gave you free Waffle House?
Nobody gave me free Waffle House. I always sit
Westernmost Waffle House.
I always sit at the counter. It's the fat guy's bar. You just sit at the counter at Waffle House.
Bars are the fat guy's bar.
But I always sit at the counter and like a lot of times when I eat by myself in public, I will listen to my earbuds. Listen to a podcast or songs or whatever. Songs. You ever listen to songs on your headbuds? And
now I see why they're giving you free food over there.
But when I go to Waffle House, no earbuds because I want to take it all in. I sit at the bar. I watch the cooks. I watch the servers.
I want to hear, oh, my stitches fell out from the kitchen.
Oh, man. Got a big soft spot in my heart for Waffle House.
Yeah, you do.
But yeah, Phoenix was good. That's the only place I ate. Went camping. Went to Joshua Tree.
Those pictures look good.
Yeah, went to Joshua Tree for two nights.
Did you get into it? Anything?
Just wandered around.
Yeah?
Just wandered.
Nighttime wanderings?
Nighttime, daytime, all time. I just wander. We talked about that last week.
Dave wanders. Sometimes he sits and stares.
Yeah. Either, if I'm not sitting and staring, I'm wandering. But no, it was fun. Man, Joshua Tree, more like Joshua Rocks. Just, I didn't see too many trees. I just saw a lot of formations.
You know what I learned about Joshua Trees?
What's
they're,
that?
They supposedly, with their arms up, are like Joshua.
Is that why they call him Joshua Tree?
Yeah.
And who is Joshua from the Bible?
Yeah.
What did he do?
I don't know.
I don't remember what Joshua did.
What an interesting transition into our proposed topic.
Yes, way to go.
Today.
Look at you. Was that accidental?
It was. But.
Who was Joshua, by the way? I remember Job.
Is it another thing like Jesus?
I remember Jesus. Job. I remember Jonah. He got swallowed by the whale.
Yeah. Didn't.
I don't remember Josh. I remember Joshua. I don't know what he did.
How many names did they call Jesus in the Bible?
I don't think Joshua was the Jesus.
The King, Prince of Peace.
The Holy Spirit.
Well.
The Sultan of Swat. The Great Bambino. Wait, we're talking about Babe Ruth now.
He had a lot. Well, that's what we're going to talk about.
You wanted to talk about spirituality.
I did, and I forgot.
Gay. I'm sorry, you can't do that anymore. You can't call things gay. No, I didn't mean for that to be homophobic.
That, you know what happened?
Comedic timing there.
You know what happened to me last night? I took a lift over to Bar Lubitsch, the Josh and Josh show.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go.
I get in the car and...
The Joshua and Joshua show.
The Joshua. Yeah.
I always thought Joshua was a stupid name. Like, it's too many syllables. Knock it off. Joshua.
It's three.
I know, but you're making my mouth do a lot of work. Joshua. Joshua. Oh. Shut up. Anyway, go ahead.
That's why they go by Josh. They know. They understand.
So you went to Bar Lubitsch.
Oh. Yeah, but the lift that took me there. Woman made a very – like, I usually don't freak out over anything in Uber, but I actually had to be like – or in the lift that I had to be – I had to at one point just like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Really?
Made such a close left turn.
Oh.
Out in front of traffic. And then
– No one ever said that when I was driving.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm like, yeah, this is rough.
That's some taxi driver shit there.
Yeah, and then – she at one point put on, we were driving for a while, and she's listening to some mellow current, like, space rock stuff. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just puts on Cherry Pie by Warrant.
There you go.
It's like, well, all right.
5 stars.
Yeah. And then she drops me off at Bar Lubitsch, and she's like, the only thing she says the whole trip, she's like, oh, is that a cool bar?
Is that a cool
it's
bar?
Like, hey, yeah, it's pretty funny. She's like, is it like the Eagle? I'm like, no.
Does she go to the Eagle?
I don't know. Or she thought I go to the Eagle. I'm like, well, all right. I went from listening to Warrant's Cherry Pie to being a leather daddy. I thought it was funny. I thought I was like, oh, this is what I'm putting off tonight? My vibe is that? All right.
I had a couple gay stalkers, online stalkers, that kept trying to get me to the Eagle.
I think there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a
chain. It is. Yeah, it's a chain. I know too much about the Eagle. No, because there was one in Atlanta that got raided. There was a big stink about some illegal raid that the APD, Atlanta PD, did on the Eagle there. And then there's one here, the one in Silver Lake. But I don't know why I brought this up, but like... gay online stalkers. I had to tell a guy, like, hey, man, I'm totally flattered. But I literally have zero friends that aren't comedians, and I'm not gay, so there's no future with us. So no, I'm not going to meet you at the Eagle. But thanks for listening to the podcast. And I'm pro-gay, I'm gay-friendly, but I'm sorry that I'm not gay.
You just got to let them down.
Yeah. But I've had a couple recently. Gay dudes love me, man. I don't know. I don't know what it's about
because
me.
Because you're a bear.
But, I don't get the appeal there. I don't get the appeal with me.
It's a flatter. You got it. Well, you even had a bit about it.
Yeah. But yeah, I didn't know Yeah, that's another topic, but just still confuses me. Like, me? Really? Okay.
Well,
anyway, what were we're going to talk about? Yeah. We're going to talk about spirituality. Kyle wants to talk about his spirituality.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm making fun of you.
Because that's what you can do that. I make fun of you all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Comeuppance. Well, what about spirituality?
I was just thinking, I don't know, maybe, when did I text you that? Yesterday?
Or today.
Oh, probably because I wanted to go get acupuncture.
Like, yeah.
No, we haven't talked about...
I wanted to talk about underwater alien bases. You want to talk about
spirituality. We can talk about that, too.
Just messing with me. No, seriously, Well, that's one of those words that is just always in the ether, but like... I never think too much about it with myself because I'm a simple man.
There's still ghosts in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Scientologists think there's aliens. You know, it's still connected to some people get real spiritual, like, you know, Native American culture, indigenous cultures. Spirituality is connected to seeing visions and believing other beings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, like, you were raised a Southern
Baptist. Like, I wouldn't say...
Between Baptist and Southern Baptist.
Gravy.
You fucking hillbilly. What's the difference?
Hell if I know. It's just probably nothing other than this is our thing. Southern people are very inclusive, like... Just, we're going to do it our way. Even if it's the exact same way as y'all were doing it, we're going to do it our way because don't nobody tell us shit.
Southern fried chicken and then just fried chicken. It's still just fried chicken.
It's all the same.
Well, my friend had a Baptist wedding. So you've been to a Baptist wedding before?
Oh, yeah.
It's no dancing, no drinking.
Well, definitely no drinking. But within Southern Baptist, and I believe I'm correct in saying that there are a lot of different little denominations.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm pretty sure like Lutheran would fall under Southern Baptist or some of these other denominations. I don't know. I may be wrong, but I don't, whatever we were, and we were Southern Baptist, but I don't remember if or what we had some little subdivision. But,
like when Christian, like, oh, you're Christian.
Yeah, but dancing wasn't necessarily forbidden. Alcohol was. So, I mean, anytime you went to, like, somebody at the church's wedding, there was definitely not an open bar or a bar of any type.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, no, I've never been to a wedding. No,
and don't
booze.
Get me started on the hypocrisy of some of that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we're racist, but at least we don't drink a wine cooler. Well, good for you. Good for you, Ted. Church Ted. We would have
wine coolers sound good right now.
And not that, I don't know.
Baptist is still Christian, though, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's under that tree of Christianity.
The same way Catholicism falls under Christianity. But yeah, I don't know if I would. I guess you could say strict. I grew up strict Southern Baptist in the sense that we were at church minimum two, sometimes three times a week. We went every Sunday morning. That was a given. And a lot of times we went on Wednesday night, and a lot of times we went on Sunday night. So two or three times a week we were in church, Bible school Sunday morning before the actual church service.
When did you do this? To what age were you?
From early as I can remember, probably three or four till about – probably till I could drive. When I was like 16 and in high school, I was like, I'm going to miss today. And my parents were a little, you know, reactionary to that. Like, but I'm like, that coincides with my work career. So when I turned 16, I could start working part-time jobs and odd jobs. It was like, that was always my excuse. Oh, I got to work.
Yeah, and that was like, well, he is working. That's good.
Yeah. And not to bash religion, but like when I was in Christianity, being saved, quote, saved is the big thing. So from day one, it was like, Dave, when are you going to get saved? So when I was – and saved meaning – you make it public. You either you do you can get saved in the privacy of your own home or bedroom, or you can go down Sunday morning in front of the church during the invitation. Towards the end, they have the invitation, which is where if anybody at this point in time, if anybody feels like they want to come make it public that they are being saved, then now's the time to do it. So when I and part of being saved is making it public and repenting of all your sins. And when I was 6 years old, I made it public. I went down in front of the entire church and I repented of all those sins that I had committed in my previous 6 years of existence. You know, like coveting my neighbor's bike or eating too much pudding. I had to make it known that I'm stopping my rambling ways, and I'm going to get right with the Lord at six. At 6 years old.
Hell's filled with pudding eaters.
That's right. Every day people die and going to hell for eating too much pudding.
Bubbling inside of them.
So, yeah, I had to repent. That was the biggest thing I remember. That's like, repent. Acknowledge your sins and ask forgiveness for them and make it public that you were going to follow Jesus.
Did you feel better after that?
I didn't feel anything. I was six, and I didn't believe it.
Well, because I wonder what – because you think about, like, guilt's always associated with Catholicism. But, like, man, I feel like that would make you a pretty guilty person.
There's a lot of guilt in Baptist. Yeah. Oh, man. Guilt and fear. Fear was the biggest thing. Fear
of
like,
going to hell.
Fear of going to hell. So – don't live a righteous life and be a good person because that's what your instinct tells you. Do it out of fear. So your loving God doesn't throw you into a fiery pit of hell.
They got to control you.
I mean, again, I don't want to make this a religion.
Population control.
I don't want to make this a religion bashing.
We talked about it last week. It's not bashing, but population control.
Mm-hmm.
In tying it all together.
Yeah.
No loose ends.
Yeah.
On the Boogie Monster.
So did you, I know you're a Catholic, did you grow up devout?
No. No. I went like CCD, I went to Sunday school.
Like every week?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's fairly devout.
No, because I had to, because you go to the class and you go to church.
Well, you had to. I'm saying, was your family devout?
No, my parents would make me go, you don't go to church. Like, we went. We went before you went.
So they would send you and they wouldn't go?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Was,
just for Sunday school. I went to public school, like regular school.
But when they sent you every Sunday morning to Sunday school,
yeah,
they
dropped me off.
Interesting.
Go get your religion. Get
wow.
It.
I will at least say my parents, they did their time right along with me.
Yeah. This was no. Was like, no, they were never there. They never went.
How bizarre. I feel like if
nobody wanted to go. It was a Catholic church. It fucking sucked. Nobody wanted to go to it. And I think what it was my mom would do her praying at home, and my dad didn't give a fuck. Doesn't give a fuck.
But you would think that would carry over into you. Well, look, we're two smart adults. We're not buying into this. We're not going to make Kyle and your sister – what's your sister's name?
Tegan.
We're not going to make Kyle and Tegan do this.
But like in the way that – these are lessons that school isn't teaching. These are morality lessons also.
Hmm.
Like, these are be a good person lessons, and you should take those because you're young and you need to learn those things.
Okay. And that is a part of it that I don't disagree with. I don't disagree with going to a place that teaches you how to be a good person. You know, although
but it's mostly like
if your parents should freaking do
that. If you're an asshole, you'll go to hell. So don't be an asshole.
Yeah. A lot of the principles of Christianity I don't disagree with. You know, the Ten Commandments, I don't disagree with, you know. But like just the whole fear-mongering brainwashing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I didn't – do you believe in God now at all or –
man, that's a great question.
If not, when did you fall away?
Well, probably.
When did you lose sight?
Early 20s. I professed to be a Christian till my early 20s, and then I this gal I was dating, the one I dated for 9 years.
Lived in the haunted house with.
Great gal. Shout out to Lucy, even though she's not listening to this. But no, I just, you know, she's a good gal. But yeah, just getting that close with another person who comes from a different background and has different thoughts and ideologies. And it was like, oh, not that she's the one that turned me. She was just like, hey, maybe think about some stuff.
Oh, really?
And I was like,
what
yeah.
was she? Was she,
she was agnostic, probably. Yeah. I mean,
she didn't have no Jesus.
Yeah. She didn't have a whole lot of Jesus in her upbringing, but like, you need that. Like, if that's all you're surrounded with your whole childhood, granted, I was a part of
Hive mentality.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I went to public school. So, you know, you meet all walks of life there, but still, you know, as a child, you're very impressionable and you're very susceptible to authoritative influence. And it was just like every adult, you know, in my life was like, yeah, this is the way you need to think and the way you need to act. So I was just like, oh, yeah. I guess
my friend was Lutheran. I was still like, oh, man, Lutheran. What are these guys up to?
See, and I don't know a lot about the other denominations.
I went to his church once, and I'm like, oh, man, this is like cheating in my church. Is this okay? Am I talking to the same guy here? Can your guy tell my guy that I'm sorry about being at this church?
Man, see, okay, I call it Southern Baptist, but we were still very the church I grew up in was still very formal. Like, it was very – and the sermons we had, like you know, there are like celebrity preachers that some of these circuits. Like, our preacher, he wasn't like on TV. He wasn't famous
farting preacher.
He wasn't like a Joel Osteen or anything, but like he was kind of – he was like the minor league version of that. Like, he was – regionally, he was known as like, oh – this guy, you go to that guy's church, that guy's kind of a big deal.
I never thought about them like working their way up to being celebrity
absolutely
preachers.
And you know, their congregations, a lot of it has to do with how big is your church, how big is your congregation. But anyway, I grew up in a church in Woodstock, Georgia, which was, you know, very formal and civil. And then when I was in high school, my high school sweetheart, her dad was a preacher.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know, Lutheran, whatever. I think I just remember it being referred to as kind of primitive. I remember the adjective primitive being and boy, was it primitive. The first time I ever went to one of their church sermons, the preacher I grew up on, he was a great orator. Like, he was he would give these great sermons and he was very well spoken.
Yeah.
This dude, the primitive Southern Baptist, it was almost like speaking in tongues. He would just get up there and holler for an hour. He would. It was very sing-songy, and it was he would holler, and it scared the shit out of me. I had never experienced it. He'd get up there, there's a lot of incoherent babble, Jesus this, Jesus that, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, what the hell is going on?
The mongoose fight the armadillo.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of me. Because even though now I don't buy into it, the church and the preachers I was raised on was very, all right, I'm going to come up here and I'm going to preach and I'm going to tell some stories and some parables. This guy was just up there just a rambling because the Spirit got a hold of it. And I was like, Jesus.
And he was a popular one?
No, he was, it was small. He was, this was my high school girlfriend's dad. And he was a great dude. I don't want to shit on the guy. Like, he was a great dude. But what else I found weird about it, he wasn't overly godly. He didn't carry himself in a very godly fashion Monday through Saturday. Yeah. You know, he was just a blue-collar dude. He was just some dude. He worked at a heat and air company that his father-in-law owned, and he was a great guy and treated me real well. But then on Sunday, he was crazy, rambling, yelling preacher.
They don't have
dude.
Like a outfit.
No, not like a priest or anything. I mean, he would wear a suit. Everybody
Jesus gi. Yeah. I don't know what else to call it.
Jesus gi. No, like, they would just wear, you know, you'd wear your church clothes. Okay. They would always wear a suit or whatever, but they didn't have a specific outfit.
Okay.
But that blew my mind anyway. Growing up in a very kind of a formal, proper Southern Baptist church, and then just going to these small little bitty churches where they just get up there and scream some shit.
I went to a born-again Christian church once with my friend. It was like It was an Asian born-again Christian church. There was just mostly Asian people that were there. And it was the same thing. Like, they were just hollering and real weird and then, like, on the knees and freaking out. Like, this is a lot right now.
Yeah, it's a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I mean, but then Rachel's, like, that seems crazy to see that stuff. But then I went to Rachel's brother's wedding, and I was on their side. And they're Mormon, and then the other side was the Catholic side. And so I'm watching all the Catholic stuff go on from being outside of it, like all the kneeling and then the whole chanting and how many times you got to touch your face in different places. I'm like, yeah, that looks pretty weird.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know anything about Catholicism my whole childhood, except for when I was about 10, my father had a friend who passed away, and he was Catholic. So yeah. We had to go to a Catholic funeral. And that was my first exposure to all the rituals and the ceremony, man. And the chants and the.
That somebody like, always had one extra flourish that you forgot you were supposed to do. Somebody like remembered to genuflect, which is kneel before you get into the pew and make the sign of the cross. Be like, oh shit, now we got to do that. Like, I just think it game of memory. We're like, what? Now we added another step to it. All right.
That's a lot to memorize.
Sign of the cross, but then you got to make a sign of the cross on your forehead little and on your mouth little and on your heart little.
Wow.
That's a lot.
What is the thing? What is the reminder, the little trick? Nose, wallet, something. You know what I'm talking about?
This, I think I heard. I think this
watch, wallet, nose, testicles, toes.
Spectacles, wallet, and watch.
Okay. Testicles, spectacles, wallet, and watch. But the wallet and watch is assuming that it's on a certain side.
I've never put a wallet or a watch in my upper shirt pocket, so yeah. I don't know the accuracy of them.
So how old were you when you stopped going to Sunday school?
Well, eighth grade, you get confirmed.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? I hear that in movies and stuff. It's your sister's confirmation. What does that mean?
Yeah, you get baptized. You have your first communion.
What is a communion?
The first time, I guess it's, we didn't have to like proclaim our sins in front of the church, but it happens. Communion's younger. Communion, you're like maybe 10 or something. And it's the first time you receive the body and blood of Christ, which is kind of metal.
Yeah.
And then you get, you get the... Body and blood of Christ. I think it's good Striper stuff.
I remember Striper.
Yeah.
They rock for Jesus.
I remember listening to somebody like, they're with Jesus. I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this. Does that make them cooler? Like 10. I don't know. And it's the first time you can get like the wafer or the bread or the host and the sip of wine, but they give you grape juice if you're a kid. No, I think it was actually – I think you still got to sip out of the wine. That was a thing. Like they would have wine and non-alcoholic stuff, and the bold kids would get in the wine line.
Interesting.
Be like, hit me with a bat. Hit me with it.
Well, as far as like
– that didn't answer your question.
No.
I stopped going eighth grade is confirmation, and that's some other thing where you do like more extensive like testing about the Bible and everything.
Really? You got to get certified.
Yeah, you gotta like pass tests. But it was one of those CCD. Nobody fucking failed CCD.
What's CCD?
I have Catholic Christian, something like the anagram for the initials for the Sunday school.
That was Corrosion of Conformity. COC.
COC.
Pretty good southern metal band. Anyway, it is an interesting, like, I think about this a lot. As an adult who has now, I don't want to say turned his back on religion or Christianity, but I've turned my back on not purposely, not like fuck you, but just okay. Here's a question. All right, okay. I was raised first 16 years of my life in the church. Did I need those 16 years of church going to be the moral adult that I am now?
Yeah.
Do I?
No, I don't know because I saw kids when I was in Sunday school, like even though we're going, I'm like, you're still dicks. Mm-hmm. Like there were kids that were still fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And they didn't care. It was just a thing their parents made them go to.
Yeah. See, you know, and not to not to pat myself on the back, but yeah, I do. I take pride in being a good dude,
yeah.
A good citizen, a good human, in the sense that I have a very strong understanding of right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I understand how to treat people, how to carry myself, just how to be a decent human being.
Yeah, don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. Don't be a shithead.
Yeah.
So my question is, had I spent those first 16 years completely void of church and Christianity, morally, would I be the guy that I am right now? I kind of feel like I would, given if I had the same upbringing as far as like my – I feel like that falls on the parents.
Your parents.
I feel that falls on family.
Yeah, because I didn't go that much, but I don't think I'm a complete asshole. Mm-hmm. I've got – sure, we've all got our faults.
Of course.
But I think that was more my parents doing a good job.
Mm-hmm. And I attest whatever positive traits and qualities I have right now, if I'm being completely introspective and honest, I feel like it's due to my parents, not the church, not God.
Yeah.
You know? Because my parents, you know, I was lucky that I had a great childhood. I had great parents. Mm-hmm. Like, they really instilled values and virtues.
Raise them right.
But I, you know, had I had the same parents with the same principles, but they were like, hey, guess what? We're kind of agnostic or we're atheist or whatever, so church is not going to be a part of your childhood whatsoever. Would I have turned out morally, would I have turned out the same as I am now? I feel like I would have.
Yeah, I think I would get pretty close to it. Who's to say one way or another? It was always weird, like kids that didn't have to go to church.
Yeah.
Your parents don't make you go to church.
I was always jealous of those kids.
Oh, man, something. Your family's bad.
Yeah.
you guys got a bad family. Yeah. You know, don't make you go to church. Whoa.
Well, that's the thing.
A lot of times they were, though. And a lot of times, like, these fucking, they're always the asshole. They don't even go to church.
Yeah. I don't know about Catholicism, but with Baptist, like, man. Passing judgment was a pretty hearty pastime. Like, oh, you're not doing what we're doing? Okay, well, all right.
You guys didn't have midnight mass?
We didn't have midnight mass. That's pretty hardcore.
That's Christmas Eve. After everybody is drunk and full Christmas Eve, my mom's like, all right, we're going to midnight mass. Just everybody in the whole church is just blasted.
Literally at midnight?
Just fucking laying around, just having a rough go.
See, the only thing I would have liked about that as a child was like, oh, I get to go out at midnight. How many chances do you get to do that?
Well, it was fun because then it was Christmas the next day. It was like, oh, what if Santa's coming right now? Santa could be coming.
I would get
out of the house, give him a chance to get here.
I would assume that might be the only time of year that your whole family is out in public at midnight.
No, like that. My family, we had gone to some parties. Mm-hmm. We'd been out.
My family never left the house after. We never left after 7.
Oh, really?
We were always back before 10.
My parents, they always had their social nights. My dad worked midnights. My mom would have her social evenings.
Okay.
Playing bingo and such. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else about the.
Well, let's talk about.
Did we get to bingo?
Well, no, let's talk about spirituality in the definition of it, as opposed to just religion. Like, what is spirituality?
I think if you just want to accept that, all right. There's a larger.
It's believing in something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, not even a being or anything, but just there's a larger operation at work. It's a larger – you're part of a larger operation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most rudimentary way is just acknowledging that you're part of a larger operation.
Okay.
Like, oh, my actions affect this other part of the system. As does their actions affect my part of the system.
Would you consider yourself a spiritual person?
that's a dumb thing to say. No, you know what? I wouldn't, because I think spiritual people go to yoga a lot and they meditate and they take time for themselves, and I don't do that.
It's a great point. I was thinking about that today after you mentioned this topic. I don't take any time for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not proud of that. I probably should. I mean, I take time for myself. You know what is time for myself? Ugh, lunch. Lunch is like, this is my time.
You said you went to the library for 7 hours.
I did. I went to the library for 7 hours.
That's a lot of time for yourself.
Well, it wasn't for myself. It was for – I was working on stuff. I was writing. I was working on projects. But
oh, that's joking.
But as far as like time for myself, mm-hmm. not jokes, not career, not this, not
focus
that. Like,
your no, mind.
I don't think I ever do that, and I should.
Take deep breaths. Yeah. Focus your mind.
I understand, like, that's part of the concept of yoga. That's probably primarily the concept of meditation, and I don't do any of that shit, and I probably should. But, like, and I think it's just because, I don't know, is this a first world problem? You know, existentialism and spirituality?
No, I mean, I think what if you have a terrible life, you'd probably wonder a lot about spirituality and what...
That's
it
true.
Would exist that would result in you having a terrible life. Or the idea of it would get you through your terrible situation.
It's a good point.
What if we don't even realize that this is miserable? Mm-hmm. That we're all miserable. But we all have some like, well, I get to laugh at things, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Feed your soul a little bit, we'll be all right. I don't know where that one came from. Kind of just, what if it's an illusion that everything's nice right now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I say I don't take any time for myself, but like, you know, I'm a self-aware dude. I'm a thoughtful dude. I think about stuff a lot. But I think that might be the problem, is I think about stuff, but I don't really take any action as far as
– Yeah.
I mean, I take action with like, all right, I got to do this for my career and I got to change some of this stuff. But like as far as my soul, I'm not proactive with my soul.
Because you don't know – you don't know what the results are. I guess I'm going to sit here and breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But entering into the acupuncture today, I got into that for a little bit. I'm like, oh, yeah, this does help.
Mm-hmm.
Get into it. Look at us getting – you want to talk about having the panic attack? You want to talk about that? That's linked up. That could be completely – because of this.
Yeah.
This could be an effect of this.
I don't know. Yeah, I was telling you earlier, I think I experienced my very first panic attack.
Yeah, man.
I've always kind of half-heartedly shunned that concept. Half-heartedly in the sense that, like, all right, I understand just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean it's not legitimate.
It seems like it's something you can make up easily.
And we've talked about this a little bit before where I feel like there are certain conditions that people kind of halfway manufacture just to give themselves something to talk about.
Okay, sure.
I feel like there's a – especially living in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, people – I just feel like
– I'm sure there's some people out there that, realize people might want to listen to them more if they got
– Exactly. If I got something to talk about. If I can talk about my panic attack or my lactose intolerance or my therapy session.
But maybe they and now you realize maybe more people have them than you thought.
Yes and no. I think mine was drug induced. I got a batch of edibles and I had a brownie the other night and I only had half of it. The whole brownie was 40 milligrams. I've dabbled with edibles. I'm not a novice to edibles. I was like, all right, 40 milligrams. I could probably take this whole thing down and be fine.
Can we just admit that they're ballparking that shit?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, because a lot of going off on another thing here, but like whenever someone gives me edibles, I always ask them, what strand, what kind of weed is this? And they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like if you have actual bud, actual weed, everybody knows everything that's ever
–
they know the complete history of this strand. Yeah. But edibles just like, I don't know. There's weed in it.
That's true. I wonder maybe if it – no, I don't know. I can't speculate on that.
Anyway – yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't want to talk about this, but I will.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I mean, I will. But like, I had my first panic attack. I think
I've
it was
had them.
A lot of things kind of coming in at the same time. But, yeah, you know, we talked about last week,
yeah,
the van thing.
Yeah.
I'm currently temporarily living in a van.
You're sitting on one of your van seats right now on the learning van.
Right now. That is not in my van because I had to take them out so I could live in there.
Kyle, can you hang out of my van seat so I could live in my van? Doing a little remodeling.
But yeah, I ate half a brownie and had a terrible night.
Yeah.
I was convinced that I was going to die that night in my van due to sleep apnea. Because I was dozing off, and I would wake myself up with a... You ever do that? Do you ever have sleep apnea?
I don't want you to be found by parking enforcement.
Well, I've started parking in there's up in the valley. A lot of the parking is there's no street cleaning, so technically you don't ever have to move your vehicle.
Park by some street cleaning.
I've been parking street cleaning.
Give them a chance to find you.
At least they got 6 or 7 days to find my dead body. I was convinced I was going to die in my van. Oh. That it was holding me hostage. That
just too high, huh?
Just got too high. Kind of had a bad. Stayed up all night. I was afraid to sleep because I thought I was going.
I thought I was having a heart attack when I had one. I was laying in bed just thinking about one thing that led to the next thought, and I was like, please stop these thoughts. Please. And it wouldn't stop. Like, my brain wouldn't stop coming up with terrible thoughts. And I was just like, I don't want this. And then it was like, oh, my heart won't stop. Like, oh, I'm dying. This is dying. This sucks.
I mean, it's going to happen. I think about that, you know. Like, when's is this it? Speaking of which, by the way, shout out to Flourish Cannabis for the edibles. No, they weren't the one that gave. That wasn't the same brownie.
Oh.
but thank you to Flourish Cannabis.
Well, they gave us all. They gave us
a whole box of shit.
Ketchup,
and
mustards,
wing sauce, marinara sauce.
I would have to eat a. What kind of protein was also high in the sandwich? Like, this was really. I've never had like regular food with weed, just candies.
Yeah. Yeah, this was my first foray.
I never had an entree.
But yeah, shout out to Corey and Victoria of Flourish Cannabis. They came out to the show in Phoenix. Just two lovely gals.
Yeah.
With a whole box of pot food.
Giving you ways to trick your family on the holidays.
Exactly. But yeah, not that that was the brownie I ate that that gave me a meltdown. Oh my god! But yeah, so I don't know, man. But yeah, I guess. I mean,
I've had that, and I just in through the nose, out through the mouth,
yeah. But I felt trapped. I didn't have anywhere. I literally got out of the van and started wandering around at 3 a.m. And I was like, oh shit, I'm the crazy guy wandering the streets in the middle of the night.
Have you ever forgotten where you parked?
No, I don't think so.
That would happen in the city.
Yeah.
Because just buddy that lived in Lincoln Park, and Chicago would be like a grid system, but then have like a diagonal street through it here and there, and just fuck everything up.
Yeah.
And you just get to the party, and then you leave the party, and like, oh no.
I mean, I've forgotten where I've parked in general, but not like in reference to me living that parking spot.
Where your home is.
Yeah. When you live there, you kind of hone in on it.
It's got an address. Kinda. You want to remember? I lost my house. What was it? The stock market? No, I forgot where I parked.
I literally lost it. All right, spirituality. Let's get back into it a little bit. Kyle, what's our purpose?
Shit.
Why are we here, Kyle? What's our purpose? Seriously, what's it all mean?
I don't think we have one.
No? Then why are we here?
Survive and be part of the system. Be part of the larger system. The same way a lion is exists, and there's molecules. It's all parts of systems.
We're all.
That was my early, like that was my earliest kind of stoner thought that really did blow my mind. When I was a young person, like, well, if molecules look like there's a nucleus and the things revolving around it, and we're planets revolving around the sun just like an atom, then maybe there's little worlds in those atoms that's made up of little tinier worlds, and we're part of an atom that just makes up a bigger thing.
Huh.
Did that
yeah.
come out right? No. Because the way I said it, I think I said it right.
No, I get it.
And that's what I was like, it's all the thing. Everything's the thing.
Do you remember your first existential thought?
Wasn't that it? What do you remember yours?
I do.
What is it?
I remember being like three and just, I remember so vividly. It was in my parents' bathroom. I was 3 years old and I'm just looking in the mirror and I'm like, what the hell is all this shit? I remember thinking, like, why? What am I doing? Why am I here?
Were you smoking a cigarette?
No, I remember. I remember vividly.
Shit.
I just remember I was three, and I was just infatuated with the mirror. I was just looking in the mirror, and I was just like, what? What? Why? Why am I here? What the hell is this all about?
I don't know when. Yeah, I can't remember when the first time that happens. I'll do every few days. I'll think about it for a little bit.
Hmm.
Well,
I mean,
why are we here, Dave? Why do you think we're here?
I mean, okay. I mean, it's a great question, but like, I don't know what the big purpose is. I don't know what this is all leading towards. But I came to terms long ago with the concept of, all right, well, you're here. Maybe don't question it too much because it might drive you crazy.
Yeah.
But while you're here, have some fun and be a good person.
Yeah. Though it goes back to whether it was your parents or religion or whatever, where's the morality come from? Where's the idea that, you know, if you hurt somebody, not in self-defense, that you would feel bad about it?
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. If I was raised by
molecular?
Wolves, I would probably still have an instinct to do that, to be good, to do some good in the world.
If you were a wolf, you'd be a good wolf.
If I was raised by wolves, or
if you were raised by wolves, hold on.
No, just saying.
No,
if I didn't have my parents, the upbringing
you
that
had
they provided me
instead.
Yeah, I still feel like it's instinctual. It's innate in all of us.
They'd be Baptist wolves. And still went to church. It was weird.
And then
it was
my
wolf church.
My wolf dad would call me on the phone and ask me why I talk. How much weed do I smoke? Because he heard it on the podcast. That happened today.
Really?
Yeah.
Your dad?
Not like judgmental. Just like, yeah, he listens every now. They live in the middle of nowhere, South Georgia.
They were at Wolf Church the other night.
So they have data issues with their internet provider, so they can't listen to – they can't mow through a ton of data.
Okay.
But every now and then he'll listen to the podcast. And today I was talking to him. He's like, so it's you know, I just couldn't help but notice that y'all do reference marijuana quite a bit. Oh. So how often do you do that? And I had to explain to him, like, Dad, I'm an artist, man. I'm creative.
I'm with the beatniks now, Daddy-O. There's nothing you could do to stop me.
Oh, man. I wish I could smoke a joint with my dad. Oh, more so, man, if I could smoke a joint with my mom.
Yeah.
My mom's joked about it. Because mom's always, like I said, she's in a wheelchair. She's always in pain. She's always dealing with stuff. And she's joked about it. And recently I was like, hey, look, if I were to bring some home on a visit, would you? And she was like, I can't do that. I was like, you can't explain to that generation that, like, the prescription meds that you're taking for all your pain. This is much better for you than that.
My parents used to smoke pot, and they won't anymore. And I was like, come on, guys.
I don't know. I don't know if my parents have. They haven't admitted to it. I feel like, and they're probably going to hear this, but I feel like my mom probably has.
Yeah.
Because before she got hurt, I feel like she kind of ran with like a hippie crew. I know she went to see the Allman Brothers a couple times.
Okay.
So it makes me she probably. But my dad, he was a military guy, and I feel like he's probably been. I know he admits to he drank a lot in the military, but other than that, I feel like he's fairly straight edge and probably maybe never has touched it. But I feel like my mom maybe smoked a joint. And if not, mom, we should smoke a joint together.
I think the Allman Brothers are still playing, right? I think you can still see the Allman Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's only one time later, I was like a few years ago, I was in the car with my mom and dad, and I thought my dad was high. And I'm sure he wasn't, but he just gets, like you talk about just being centered and peaceful.
Uh-huh.
My dad's just a real peaceful guy all the time.
Yeah.
My mom was just fucking talking about something. She has a way of telling stories that are A to B always reroutes through like X or Q or something. And my dad, just in the middle of it, he's looking out the car window and she's talking and she said something, like asked him a question. He's just looking out the window. He's like, looks like a Simpsons sky. Like the sky from the Simpsons. And he goes, look at those clouds. wasn't listening to her at all.
That's a stoner moment.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What was your afternoon like?
Why not? Why would you not? If you were a senior citizen and you had just a few years left on this earth.
Because maybe
why not at least explore a little bit?
Maybe it affects you the older you are for some people. Or the fact that they don't want to have never-ending thoughts bombarding them.
Hmm.
You know, because maybe that's what they think. You don't know what kind of stuff you're getting. You don't realize, you know, you kind of know what you're getting. I wouldn't say you exactly know because I can't tell the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But you could get indica or sativa or something. Yeah, get into it. Well, sorry, Mr. Stone.
Oh, man. All right. Where are we at on time? How are we doing?
We're there, man.
We're there?
Yeah.
I feel like we just scratched the surface
of
spirituality.
I wrote down, like, if people are having just the bummers from reading the news. The news bums me out. Like, mm-hmm. I have to make a conscious effort now of, like, no, I'm not going to. Going to take a break from it for a day. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. It is a bummer.
I don't think I'm going to hear about nuclear war yet. I think if something nuclear war happens, somebody's going to tell me, and I won't have to read the news to find out.
All right. Well, let's try to wrap at least the topic up. I know this is a trite question. What happens when you die, Kyle?
I think the same thing that happens before you're born. Nothing.
Hmm.
You don't know what happened before you're born. Somebody just tells you. You have no idea if history is real.
Interesting.
Do you think, have no.
So you think there'll be
time proof of it?
Zero consciousness. Like once you die, wherever you go, wherever your soul goes, is there any consciousness as far as I remember when I was alive?
I think it would go back into some sort of energy. That was a news story that happened, that the people that run the Large Hadron Collider proved that there was not ghosts.
Wait, say that again? The people who...
Large Hadron, probably saying it wrong.
Giant, I know what you're talking about.
Where they smash atoms
in
down in a
Belgium area. Or Netherlands or
there's
Holland
a
or something?
Few of them.
Oh, okay. The big one is somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, yeah. There's one in Illinois. I think it's by Aurora. Fermilab.
So those people think what?
They think they prove that ghosts can't exist because the idea that a ghost is just energy without matter or I don't know what. I don't know the science of it. You can look it up.
There can't be energy without matter?
The idea something without a, I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know.
They're like the scientific part of it. It doesn't mean it can exist. And my argument is, like I've said before, we still don't know. They just found seven new planets. We don't know everything.
Amen.
So as much as like science is good, like it's going to keep getting better, and that's exciting about it.
Most of what we talk about here is not backed up by science, you know?
No,
it's just the possibility of some of this stuff.
Yeah, well, that was what we were going to – what? How did that start?
I have no idea.
Oh, when we die.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, what happens when we die?
I would like to think that sometimes that energy does exist somehow. Like I said, I don't think you're wearing a fucking sheet over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Saying boogity boo around old hotels.
Do you fear death?
I think the kind of way of dying. What's beyond it? Past that? No, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know what it is. If it's nothing, if I think that it's nothing, then I can't be afraid of it. If I think that it's something, that's a reason to be either hopeful or afraid.
I'll say this. I've never feared death just because of this question, this existential question that we all have. Mm-hmm. I've always thought, well, when I die, at least maybe I'll get the answer to that. So it's nothing to be afraid of. And I'm not having too much fun while I'm here, so what do I care?
Have more fun, Dave.
No, I didn't mean for that to sound depressing.
Okay, Dave doesn't want his body to be found in his van. He's not having too much fun here anyway. Dad's worried about his drug use. This is,
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I didn't mean for that to sound. Bummer.
I don't even care, man. Okay, Dave. Any fun recipes for us this week?
Just make sure you get my van out of tow. Go get it out of the impound.
I got a lot of deviled eggs in that cooler in there. Hate for them to spoil on account of my perishing.
Oh, man. Hey, did I tell you I joined the library this week?
Well, that's exciting news. He didn't want to kill himself. He just joined the library.
I spent half my day at the...
A suicidal man doesn't just join the library on a whim.
Well, in all fairness, I got nowhere else to go.
Oh, we're back to square one.
Literally, I got to do something with my time now that I don't have a house.
Oh, the gym and the library.
The gym and the library.
You're gonna be the strongest nerd.
I spend half my day at the gym and half my day at the library.
You're going to be like Ogre at the end of Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, man. Did you know that at the Glendale Public Library...
I can know. The answer's no.
You can check out 100 books at a time.
That's stupid.
100. When I signed up,
for being a smart place, that's stupid.
She was going through her spiel about, you know, this is what we offer and blah, blah, blah. And 100 books at a time you can check out at the Glendale Public Library.
What? They don't – I was telling you this before. They don't want you to return them. Like they're hoping, like if we
merchandise.
Can prove that we lost a lot of our books, they'll just close this place down.
Oh man,
it's by the hiking trail.
Yeah, up there by the mountain, the Brand Library. You think it's like a government funding thing? Like if we don't spend this much money, we'll lose our funding for the next year.
I just think they just want less books to deal with.
100 books at a time. What asshole is checking out 100 books?
I couldn't, but yeah, how long do you get them for?
I think the time period is 2 weeks. So you got to.
I don't want to be making a lot of trips back and forth to the library.
Oh, man, that just blew my mind. Anyway.
I can't imagine. I don't. Is it count for magazines?
It's different. Like, you can do 100 books, you can do 50 DVDs. They have a DVD library. So you just get...
You could take 50 DVDs.
Just a bunch of old 90s rom-coms.
They hope you don't return them because then they can charge you for it.
Maybe that's what it is. It's a scam. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, you just took out 100 books and it's been 15 days?
That's what it is.
Well, That's a charge on each book for each day.
Yep. That's what it is. Yeah, take as many as you like. Just make sure you return them on time, you son of a bitch.
Just like as many as you take.
What else, buddy?
I don't know. We got plowed through Jesus' topic pretty quick. It could be ongoing. This could be hours and hours, but I got stuff to do tonight.
What do you got to do tonight? What are you doing?
I was going to go see Get Out.
Get Out? Yeah. Oh, the Jordan Peele movie?
Yeah.
Is that a comedy? Is it a horror?
I think it's a horror movie, like almost like a comedy satire horror movie.
Okay.
So.
Well, good for you, buddy.
I was going to go, yeah, me and the lady are going to have a movie, a film night.
Good for you. You're going to get some popcorn?
I don't know.
It's the only reason I go to the movies.
Well, that's fucking, you can get popcorn at the store.
Nope. Everybody says that. Movie popcorn's different.
It is. It is like all just fresh and warm and
special.
Yeah.
I've never done this, but I want to just go into the movies and be like, hey, man, I don't want to buy a ticket. Can I just go buy some popcorn? Would they let you do that?
No.
Why not?
That's why that stuff's behind the counter.
Hey, watch me. I'm not going to try to go in, but I want to buy some popcorn. I want to give you some money.
Sounds like a racket. It sounds suspect.
Next week, I'm going to go buy some popcorn.
Just go to a movie, Dave.
There's no movie out that I want to see. I don't care. There's nothing good. I mean, that movie, Get Out, looks pretty good. But I haven't been intrigued by a movie in a while. Right.
Okay. Well, then I'll get some popcorn. I'll bring it home.
Yeah, bring some popcorn. I got some keto recipes.
What do you got?
Well, recipes, a strong word. I've been trying to get back on the keto.
Try putting chicken on your turkey.
Been trying to get back into the keto thing. Two of my go-to snacks / meals right now. Keto, I've talked about it before. I don't know what any of it means. I just know what I'm allowed to eat, what I'm allowed not to eat.
Okay, got it.
Just no carbs, no sugar. So no carbs, no sugar. I've been doing a lot of – I make – so I can eat cold cuts. So what I'll do – and I can eat cheese. So I'll get that like really nice vacuum-sealed pack of pepperoni or salami.
Oh, yeah.
In the fancy case.
I know what you're talking about.
At the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I get a pack of that, and then I'll get a little wedge of Brie cheese.
Brie? Look at this motherfucker with Brie.
Brie. Some cheese has carbs in it, a lot of your traditional cheeses, but apparently a lot of the softer cheeses, very low carbs. Mm. So I get a wedge of Brie, and I'll get a pack of that damn pepperoni or salami.
Just give yourself a crudité plate.
Yeah. But what I do is I take the little disc of salami or capicola or whatever it is, and then I'll spread the brie as if it were like cream cheese or a spread or a dip. I'll spread it all over the circle, and then I'll fold it in half like a little dumb little taco or a little mini quesadilla.
Lunchables with a little more self-respect.
Yeah, just some brie spread on a circle of pepperoni, fold it in half, and eat it like a little taco.
That's your recipe today.
That's my recipe. I got one more. I got another good one. You know what else?
Buy two things, smash them together in your hand.
You know what else? You know what? Believe it or not, you know what it's acceptable on this diet? In any other diet, it might be the worst thing ever. Pork rinds.
Yeah,
pork rinds have zero carbs.
So what? They have pork rinds.
Zero carbs, zero sugar in a pork rind. So what I do now is, and avocados, very heavy on the avocado on the keto diet. So I'll whip up some real rough homemade guacamole. I'll just take an avocado, smash the shit out of it, throw a little lime juice, some chopped onion, salt and pepper, whatever. And then I'll, instead of tortilla chips, get them damn pork rinds.
That's your diet.
That's what I've been eating.
Here, don't.
It's pepperoni, brie,
about where you need
pork
to park
rinds,
your van
and avocados.
They're so real now. They're so real.
That's my recipe.
Diet.
Pepperoni and brie and pork rinds and guac. Get on it.
Mountain Dew. Big surprise.
Diet.
Totally okay. The keto diet. Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Diet Mountain Dew for real. I had one today.
Fucking did you?
Yeah.
I was about to say, any motherfucker who drinks Diet Mountain Dew should get his Fox Racing hat slapped off his head.
No sugar, no carbs, dude. That's what these stupid diets do to you. When I was a vegetarian, it wasn't, hey, eat healthy and eat, you know, veg friendly. It was just anything that I ain't meat. I just eat a lot of cheese pizzas.
Oh, yeah, I'm there.
Mayonnaise sandwiches. I ain't no meat in it. Shut up. Leave me alone. I'm trying.
Cut out the middle, man.
That's what I'm doing now. Just anything but, you know, pork rinds and avocado.
It's not good. Like, that's not good for you.
Of course. My heart's going to explode, but I'm going to lose
nothing.
Some weight.
I know nothing mm-hmm. about nutrition, mm-hmm. but pork rinds and guacamole aren't good for you.
Oh, I'm well aware of that, but it's going to make me lose weight. And that's all that matters. Talking about the meaning of life, got to look pretty.
He just wants to be beautiful.
I just want to be beautiful. Oh, you know, I'm so vain.
Yeah, that's what you are. This guy in his flip flops is going to sleep in his van in front of my house tonight. It's vain.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy. I'll tell you some cool van stories next week. Every night's a new adventure.
I like it.
Oh, boy. You got anything to plug? You're going next week.
Still St. Patrick's Day weekend at the Stress Factory.
That's cool.
In Jersey.
Going back. You were just there. Now you're going back.
In New York. And then go to New Jersey.
Same thing.
Stress Factory. I said I was never going to.
They all talk funny.
Did I say that joke last week? I'd rather be caught outside during the purge than go to a bar on St. Patrick's Day.
That's true.
But now I'm doing two shows tonight.
In a place where there's an abundance of Irish people.
We'll see. What about you?
No shows. I got some Colorado shit coming up next month. But I will plug this little cross promotion. Gravy Boat's back in action.
The Dave Stone radio program, Gravy Boat.
Just my dumb little alt-country radio show.
Mm-hmm. And producing those.
Totally illegal.
But you're not making money off of it.
I'm not making money, and I never would.
You're just sharing music.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I probably shouldn't be talking about this, but it's not legal in the sense that I'm not paying any licensing fees for this music. But I'm never going to make a penny off of it, so what do I care?
You're just sharing a playlist.
Yeah,
you
just
can
sharing
do that.
A playlist.
Where do you find it? On Spotify, right?
No, on SoundCloud.
Oh.
And I've committed to putting out a new episode every Monday. Every
I'll
Monday.
If I can make a SoundCloud of my own right here.
Every Monday, new episodes of The Gravy Boat. If you're into like weird alt country, outlaw country type shit, it's a very niche market. Most people aren't into that music, so that's fine.
I think people are coming around to it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's bigger than it's ever been due to the success of people like Sturgill and Jason Isbell and folks like that. But if you're remotely into that stuff, every Monday on SoundCloud, Gravy Boat. I just put up my third episode. I did two episodes months ago on my buddy Ryan's computer.
Yeah.
I did it, but then I was like, well, I probably shouldn't be doing an internet radio show if I don't own a computer. So I had a bit of a hiatus. But now that I got my own computer back up and running, Gravy Boat's back in action.
The operation's back in action.
Yeah. So we got a comic of the week.
I was going to say Ron Babcock.
Ron Babcock, funny dude.
Yeah, he's got an album coming out.
Is it out now or when's it come out?
I know very little details of it. I was just like, oh, who should we have for this week? And then I saw Ron, who I haven't seen in a while in person. Mm-hmm. But I always like, oh, shit, Ron's here. I'm like, I'm always excited to see Ron.
Very funny dude.
He opened for me on one of my first tours I did on my own, like 7 years ago.
Really?
We played Arizona.
Okay.
And I think we were to Vegas.
Oh, you told the story that Colorado. He was with you when you went and ate authentic Native American food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I had mutton. Ugh.
What's the name of his new album?
I got to find it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're prepared.
Well, I we get caught up in everything. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot to write it on the pad.
Where's Ron from originally? Is he, he's an East Coast
Ron's
dude.
Ron's Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
I don't know where in Pennsylvania. Ah, this shit ain't going to let him.
Me, you, and Ron start in a sketch that never aired. couple years ago. Remember that when you came over to my place? Me, Ryan, and Lisa had a sketch group.
I got that picture with Chewy.
Yeah, and we did this really bizarre sketch where called for you to sit in a bathtub full of Fruit Loops.
So, yeah.
You know what? I should release that on our Instagram.
Yeah, why not? Why didn't it ever
come out? They were good, not great. We filmed probably 8 or 10 sketches under the moniker. What was the name of our sketch group? Pillow Fight. Me, Ryan Singer, Pillow Lisa Best. Fight. We're going to do a sketch group, and we filmed several, and they were good, but just I'm a big proponent of comics. Just because you do a thing don't mean you got to put it out.
Yeah, I could see why you're compelled after you put all the effort in. It's like, well, we've got to at least put it out.
But you don't. You can just bite the bullet and not put out mediocre content. And that's why those haven't seen the light of day. But I'll be sure to share that with our listeners.
His album comes out March 30th on Sure Thing Records.
What's the name of it?
He just said, I'm not sure what to name it. That's right, because every time he posted it, he was screwing around.
There's
with
a lot of
name.
Puns and stuff.
Yeah, he was dicking around. So who knows? But it comes out in a couple weeks.
All right. Well, Ron Babcock, very funny dude, LA-based comedian, been around for a while. He's another guy that's out there just touring his balls off. I see he did a couple years ago. He did like a huge tour in an old Mercedes.
Somebody gave him like it was from the 70s or something.
Yeah,
it was diesel Mercedes.
Old diesel Mercedes.
All over the States.
Just went all over the place. So
that was cool.
Ron's another guy out there pounding the pavement. So go check out Ron Babcock.
All right.
All right, buddy.
I think we scratched some surfaces.
All right. Well, I will say this. People still asking for the biscuit recipe, which that's fine. Feel free to throw us a rating and or review on iTunes if you receive and enjoy that free, very good biscuit recipe. So show a little love in return. So BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com. That's where you get those recipes. And by the way, I said this before, but I'll say this again. That's the only recipe that's available in print form right now. Every day, hey, look at that chili recipe or that.
You got it. We can start a GoFundMe, and people can pay for the biscuit recipe, knowing that eventually you're gonna make a book.
Yeah, I just need to.
Or just get paid for giving out that delicious biscuit recipe.
Yeah. But yeah, people are always asking for the other recipe. I'm like, geez, it's.
Guys, get out there. Find your own adventure. Yeah. Choose your own adventure, culinarily speaking.
Dave Stone Comedy on Twitter. Kyle Kinane on Twitter. Holler at your boys. Bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster. Thank you.